No afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. But for our next interview, I'm going to turn it over to Chandra, our newest producer in the arts department here at KTOO. And Chandra is also the music director for KXLL 100.7 FM, our music station, and is very familiar with the work of our guest today, Yeltsin Nikolanin, Nicholas Galanin. This guest has a special connection to Juno Afternoon, as he was part of the group who composed our Juno Afternoon theme music. So gunashchish for that, Nick. It's great to have you on the show today. And now over to Chandra.
Gwayanakbak, thanks so much, Shelley. Pugliu Gipton, welcome, Nicholas. Gunashchish for joining us. We're happy to have you back in the studio virtually. Would you mind introducing yourself for our listeners?
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Yeltsin Nicholas Galanin. I'm calling from Sitka, Alaska today.
Awesome. Now, your previous recording project was Indian Agent, and the project has evolved since to now go by the name Yeltsin. Working with other creatives, I know the naming process can be kind of a big one sometimes, with shifting emphasis on different aspects of the work. Can you tell me a little bit about the naming process for Yeltsin?
Sure. Yeah, this was a project that we've been recording for about 3 years. We knew that this was, you know, we signed the record deal with Sub Pop about the time we were starting this. So I understood it was a new space, a new project. And, you know, I feel like it was a natural progression to keep moving forward, as you know we tend to do with all things creatively. So it's just the next phase.
Awesome.
And I think it was important to include Tlingit language too, you know, and in the title of the band, and it was an opportunity for that. So
yeah, absolutely. Using names from our indigenous languages really helps put Native identity at the forefront, whereas in the past, you know, that might not have been safe to do in public spaces. So I think that's a really big accomplishment made by, you know, Native artists and creatives that are making really remarkable, you know, changes and moving forward. And I think we have artists like yourself and others to thank for that. So you mentioned Sub Pop Records. Let's talk a little bit more about working with them. That's so exciting.
Yes, legends. Yeah.
Legends, exactly.
That's so crazy.
It is. It's so exciting for everyone.
You know, I grew up on like Nirvana and all of these artists that came through Sub Pop. So they definitely hold it down, not just in the Northwest, but for, you know, independent record labels. So having the opportunity to work with Sub Pop's been incredible. It's been such a great experience. Shout out to Jonathan Poneman, who's a co-founder and who signed us for this project. So just really grateful.
Yeah, that's so exciting. And you hit the nail on the head. As someone who grew up listening to grunge music from what sometimes felt like as a kid, like the faraway planet of Alaska, Sub Pop always kind of had this like rock and roll mystique. Can you give a little bit of a glimpse at the man behind the curtain, maybe demystify a little bit? Was there anything different for you about the experience of working with Sub Pop Records than other labels that you've worked with previously?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we're still in the process of releasing this record too. So it's if that process, everything's really new right now as far as unrolling. We've released 3 singles. We've got another one before the record releases on the 30th. But the work isn't just starting now. There was a lot of prep work in preparation to get the record right, mix and master, and just kind of get everything together in order. So as far as working with Jonathan and their team, they've got such a experienced team of folks that help with marketing, distribution, all these other aspects. So I'm kind of learning a lot along the way as well. I've never really been involved with a record label on this scale, I should say, too. So.
Wow. Well, it could not be cooler for a fan like myself to see a homegrown Alaska Native musician work with them. So congratulations. That's really exciting. And we are.
Thank you.
We are along for the journey and happy to be so. So Speaking of such a big record label, you've had some big collaborations on the album as well, with Portugal the Man on the track Knives and Shabazz Palaces and Stas the Boss on what's my favorite track so far, Synthetic Gods. I'm really curious, what did that collaboration look like during the pandemic?
You know, there's some major collaborations. I love collaborating, especially with music. It's such a, there's such an alchemy that can happen in that process. So it was early on pre-pandemic that the collaborations were here in my studio. People would fly up and we would record for a week or two, you know, and that experience is tough to beat as far as in person versus, you know, doing things from the internet. Sure. Obviously we can't always do that. So, you know, some of these collaborations did happen through digital spaces. There's so many ways to share and send like stems of music to other artists now and to communicate and go back and forth to arrive at collaborations without being there in person. So, yes, that had happened as well. We've got Nick Hakim, who's an amazing artist that's on this record as well. And Iskadoff, Kachung from Pamua. Shout out to Kachung, who's in Juneau now. So, but he, you know, Kachung was flying into the studio here to record. So
amazing.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, it's totally irreplicable, being in person versus working virtually. Has collaboration gotten any easier now that we're a little
I don't know. You know, we're actually planning on pre-recording some sessions in my studio for some stations and some other spaces. So when we do that, you know, there'll be maybe four or five collaborators that are flying in, and we'll spend some time, you know, performing some of those materials in the studio, but also probably starting the next album. So I think that I'm looking forward to that in person moment. So
awesome. I think a lot of us here are as well. Let's hear a sample of one of those collaborations from the Indian Yard album. Here's a clip from Synthetic Gods by Yatsin, and this clip features Stas the Boss.
Do you wanna be the flame? You're going to see the flames at night. You're going to feel the flames. They climb so high, and now you're under pressure.
Like a pancake dip. I'm on time, ain't no waiting on me. Yeah, not sure how I plan to move. You on my neck, the fake and lonely. We puff cushion, dismantle you. You too hype and too lame and corny. You show up, we abandon you.
Puckley Ogifsi, welcome back. That was a sample of Synthetic Gods by Yatsin with Shabazz Palaces and Stas the Boss. For those just joining, I'm Chandra. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. And we're talking with Nicholas Galanin Yatsin, a multidisciplinary artist and musician based in Sitka, whose new album, Indian Yard, is out on April 30th from Sub Pop Records. So we've been spinning the single Knives on KXLL. I wanted to ask a little bit about... Yeah, it's so good. Oh my gosh, it's a jam. yeah, I've listened to it a ton. It's so good. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. And I wanted to ask a little bit about some of the lyrics. I noticed that some of the lyrics gesture in a couple different directions. One direction is sort of desire and romantic relationships. It's a little bit steamy and a subject that's a deeply personal individual experience. While other lyrics, as well as some of your visual art pieces, which I hope to talk about in just a minute, speak to much larger socio-political movements. So I wanted to ask, do some topics lend themselves more to music than to other creative mediums that you work in?
I don't separate these things, and I definitely don't separate the concepts or topics of what we're working with. I do understand that we have responsibility as, creative artists. I feel like there's a responsibility to some of these conversations and to future generations. Part of this project and this record and the movement through it does include, more personal experiences, human experiences, love, connection. And I feel like that's as equally as important, especially as Indigenous artists were often dehumanized through history, through stereotype. And to include in our creative voice that human aspect is really necessary. And so I feel like those things included in this record are necessities as well.
That's awesome. I love that. And it sounds like sometimes the content and the form sort of emerge naturally. I love what you said about responsibility as creatives. So I wanted to kind of dig deep into that a little bit. The release of the album actually coincides with your recent installation at the Desert X Biennial. For listeners who don't yet know, the Desert X installation is on the original homelands of the Cahuilla peoples of the Aguacaliente Reservation, adjacent to what is today known as Palm Springs and the Coachella Valley in California. Can you tell us, Nicholas, a little bit about your piece, Never Forget, at Desert X?
This was a major project with 3 years in the making as well when it first initially started. My first site visit out to the location was telling as a form of what narratives communities choose to uphold or tell. And Palm Springs definitely has a tourist aspect to their narrative of as a playground for Hollywood, historically, and where, stars from Hollywood would run off to Palm Springs to get away. The Hollywood sign was first put up as a land real estate advertisement for white-only neighborhoods on, of course, stolen Indigenous land. So working with some of this history and not necessarily widely known information, because that iconic imagery is not necessarily represented like that with that backstory so often today, created a version of that work to scale. So these letters are 45 feet high, which is the same height as the Hollywood sign, which used to say Hollywood Land. And the text says Indian Land, which is also a reference to the U.S. government's use of the term as, a monolithic term that is used to remove over 500 distinct Indigenous communities, nations, tribes, cultures, languages, and names under the guise of Indian, our government legislation of removing us from communities and from our land. So the work itself says Indian Land. It's not necessarily a land acknowledgement. It's a call to action. It's an invitation for landowners to participate in land back movement in any form possible. So if they have land, they can look into returning that land to Indigenous communities. It acknowledges that Indigenous knowledge and care for land is sustainable for everybody that's here. And there's also a GoFundMe set up for those that maybe they can't participate by returning land, but they can donate to the GoFundMe, which is gofundme.com/f/landback. And all of the funds raised from that will go to the Native American Land Conservancy based in Indigo near the site of the work to hopefully transfer legal title of land back to their care. Mm.
That's amazing. And I noticed on the GoFundMe as well, just a quick quote to kind of wrap up what you were just describing, to quote the accompanying GoFundMe to the Never Forget installation. Never Forget is a monumental invitation to landowners to seek out Indigenous leadership for land relationships, to center Indigenous knowledge in creating sustainable practices, to contribute to real rent initiatives. I love that. That real rent initiatives is one of the purposes that this contributes to. How did you come up with that?
Yeah. I mean, this isn't just something that I've come up with, to be honest. This is a movement that's ongoing in a lot of different communities, and it looks like a lot of different things in each community. None of it's perfect, but, you know, it's trying to call to action opposed to just lip service of acknowledgments. Institutions have normalized giving land acknowledgement, which is great, but it's alone, that's not enough. It doesn't change things. It doesn't provide necessary change to communities that need it.
Yeah, that's a really good point and a good point of distinction. If Never Forget the installation is a call to action as part of the Land Back movement, would you say that there is a call to action in the Yetsin album?
I wouldn't say there's a direct message, particularly like this specific installation work. Mm-hmm. But there's messaging in the music, and there's, you know, there's there's subtle aspects of it that come through that sound. So I think you have to just listen to it and tell me what you think.
Awesome. And I highly encourage that too. They are really good jams. This is a great conversation. So speaking of the jams, I'm wondering what else we might be bringing home for listeners on KXLL. Can I ask, what kind of music are you listening to right now?
Oh, I'm listening to everything. I listen to so much music daily because I'm, you know, I work in the studio and I work with my hands. So it's, I don't know, there's heavy rotations. I'd have to look at my playlist, but I love Nick Hakim's last record. I've been listening to a lot of that. I've been listening to Khalil Al-Zubar, which is a really, really great records, a few records that he's put out. So I'm always just looking for new music too.
Awesome. Love it. Well, we've mentioned Knives from the album a few times now. Let's go ahead and hear a sample from Knives. This is Yetsin featuring Portugal the Man. Okay, that was Knives by Yetsin featuring Portugal the Man. And I wanted to play that very ending clip that you might have noticed, Nicholas, because I noticed Raven sounds at the end there. Might have been really, really subtle, and it might just be because I myself am new to Southeast, and so I'm like really noticing Raven sounds everywhere. So I'm really curious, are you intentional about the landscape of your home region coming through in the sounds in your music?
Yeah, definitely. It's there. It'll be there in certain songs. It'll be actually just have there's an installation up at the Anchorage Museum right now. Soundscapes, I forget what, Northern Soundscapes or something. They commissioned a song and they sent me, you know, samples to field recording samples used here from Sitka. And so that's installed in the museum right now as a sound installation amongst other sound artists in that space. So, you know, where we come from in the land and this region really does shape so much more than than what we would think, I suppose. So it's definitely integrated into the music. Even if it's not literally integrated into it, it's, mm-hmm. you know, you look out in Southeast and understand the weather and the seasons and stuff like that. And you can, I feel like that transfers into the sonics of music for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always curious about whether those, you know, those are intentional creative choices on the part of artists and musicians, or whether those kind of atmospherics, you know, just being immersed in them, they naturally sort of come through in the work in different ways and create sort of these new sonic textures and visual arts as well. So you have so much work under your belt. Do you have any wise words for the creative young people here in the region?
I don't know if they're wise, but I could try to give you some words, I suppose. I think more importantly than anything is just, you know, believe in your ideas and bring them forward because the world needs them.
Yeah, that's a really, really great point. Thanks so much. So, thanks so much, Nicholas Galanin. Yetsin, the new album Indian Yard is out April 30th, the end of this month, from Sub Pop Records. Thanks so much for talking with us today.